Okay? Book of Daniel. That's where we've been. Week one. What did we learn? What did we talk about? First week that we were in Daniel. He was taken into captivity by who?
King Nebuchadnezzar.
Good job. All right. He did not want to partake of the meats and the wine of the king. So, like, what did he do, to prepare himself?
He ate pulse.
Yeah, but what did he do to prepare himself?
This verse is going to center around it.
He prepared.
He purposed in his heart that he would not.
Yes, he purposed in his heart. The main takeaway from week one, this is just a quick short summary for anybody that wasn't here, is you guys need to be purposing in your heart now that you're going to walk the walk. We did camp early this year, so we're not going to be riding that high into school like we have in years past. So now comes the time to take action before you get to school. For you, Jacob, it's a week away. Make sure you guys are reading your Bible, you're praying, that your heightened verses in your heart, be taking the steps now to prepare for what the world has to offer you when school time comes. All right, then last week, what did we talk about?
We talked about how David got thrown in the super hot furnace.
David did not get thrown in the super hot furnace.
No. Oh, not David, no. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're the names you, yes. What were they asked to do? Why were they thrown into the furnace?
Because they wanted to bow down to the king's statue.
Yeah, they wouldn't worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol. She's fine. This is how we're rolling, all right? Yeah, she knows. And what happened to them because they refused?
They got thrown in the furnace.
They're thrown in the fiery furnace, all right? So the main takeaway from last week, all right, was that you need to be surrounding yourself with friends who share the same convictions that we share. They all knew that it was wrong to worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol, and they were all on the same page. They all agreed together that they weren't going to do so. All right, we need to surround ourselves with friends that aren't going to compromise when the stakes are high. They faced the penalty of death, and they were willing to do that together. So having good friends around us, surrounding ourselves with people that are going to fight the battles that we're willing to fight, that's what's going to help us when school time comes. It's going to make things a lot easier. And we saw at the end of that chapter that God rewarded him for that. So this week, my title for this is In It for the Long Haul, okay? Daniel, we're going to be in chapter 6. So if you're not there, get there. Everybody's got their own Bible. Levi, Daniel chapter 6, get there. All right. We're going to read this entire chapter. We're going to break it down as we go, all right? I'll read. All right, verse 1, chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Alrighty. What is happening in these first 5 verses? What do we notice? Things that we notice. Go ahead.
People are jealous of how high the rank of it.
Yeah. Then the fact that he finds favor in the king. Who's the king?
Darius.
Not Nebuchadnezzar. Change. This is different, right? Nebuchadnezzar in the last 2 stories, now the king is Darius. And we find out that Darius thinks pretty highly of Daniel. Makes him the highest of the 3 presidents, okay? What do the people under Daniel think of him? They're jealous, right? And they're trying to do what? What does it say? That it says they're trying to find occasion. Like what?
False.
Yeah, trying to find something wrong with the guy. They're just digging deep into his life, trying to see if they can't find something wrong with him. And they couldn't do that. In verse 4, it says, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him, for as much as he was faithful. So let's shine just what we know, all right, up to this point. Daniel was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, all right? As a child, we knew that they were kids, all right? They purposed in their heart as servants to not defile themselves with the meat. They did pulse, and they were found in favor of King Nebuchadnezzar, all right? So they were found favor under Nebuchadnezzar, and now they're under Darius. So they found favor, Daniel has found favor now under two kings, multiple different kings, but still faces persecution from the people of Babylon. Even in the first chapter and now to this point, we saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like people didn't like that they were serving our God. How many of us, given the circumstances that they face, you know, under new leadership, asked to do the things that they're asked to do? Hold on, we're going to read. We're going to continue to read on, because I want to set up this question, I guess. Verse 5, we're going to read from 6 on. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed and written and decreed. Okay? So, how many of us, under the circumstances, like Daniel, they're jealous, they can't find nothing wrong with him, they signed this decree saying that you cannot worship or praise any god other than Darius for 30 days. They're trying to trip him up. They know how he feels, all right? How many of us, given the circumstances that he's faced, new king, new leadership, would find it hard to remain faithful in these times, you know? I would venture to say most of us, when the carpet gets ripped out from under you, so to speak, you know? They're trying to do everything right. In each of the passages, they're just trying to just live life, do the right thing, and everybody just keeps trying to rip the carpet out from under him. And it says, but Daniel, he's for as much as he was faithful, he remained faithful. In every circumstance that Daniel faced, and his friends in the last couple weeks, they have remained faithful. So, my first question to you guys this week is, will you remain faithful in every circumstance? All right, as we're preparing to go back to school, you need to ask yourself, will you remain faithful in every circumstance? King Darius has signed in this decree, and we're going to read through 15 here. It says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And he did as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is to not or that no decree nor statute which a king established may be changed. So, Darius writes this decree. They kind of trick him. Yeah, he writes this decree that nobody can worship another god or another man except him. They see Daniel praying, you know. Then they come to Darius. They tell him about this. It bothers him, you know. We found out in the beginning of the chapter that he likes Daniel. He has favor in him. Yeah, and now he sees what their intentions were, these people's intentions, you know? What was Daniel's take on the decree that they made? Like, what does he do?
He doesn't care.
He does what?
He doesn't care.
He ignores it. He doesn't care. He goes back to his house. He prays 3 times a day. Last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the world around these men changed. They were asked to worship an idol of Nebuchadnezzar. They did not. They continued to worship their God. They refused to compromise and to conform to what they were being told to do. Kids at school are going to tell you, society around you is going to tell you that you need to act a certain type of way, or that you need to do a certain type of thing to either fit in or be cool, or that you shouldn't do this or that because it's not cool or frowned upon. But ultimately, you guys get to choose and decide how you want to act, the kind of person that you want to be. All right? Daniel wasn't a jerk. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't jerks. They didn't, like, call people out or say mean things to them. They just simply just didn't compromise. Daniel went to his house, nothing wrong with that, and he prayed 3 times a day. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they used caution. It said that they used caution when they spoke. When they had gotten called out for not worshiping the idol, they were like, listen, we're sorry to tell you this, but we're not going to do that. When they spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. We can choose to be a Christian at school, to live our lives for Jesus, and not do so in a way that is offensive or mean to others. Like, you don't have to be boastful or braggy or put people down when they're like, hey, you know, that's not cool or that's weird. You just go about your life. You're going to face pressure at school. People are going to give you a hard time. People are going to make you want to do something you know you shouldn't be doing, or you're going to feel this urge. Your flesh might want to partake in something that everybody else is doing just because. Whatever it is, simple as cussing or cheating on a test, making fun of somebody because everybody else is picking on them. So my question to you is, are you going to fold when everybody else gives in? When everybody else is doing that one thing, are you going to throw away everything that you believe in, throw away what you know, and conform to what they want you to be? The thing that I found the most interesting and the most neat was in verse 10. It says, Daniel goes back to his house, he's praying with the windows open at Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What does aforetime mean to you? As he had done before, previously. It's what he's always done. This wasn't something new for Daniel. Like, he didn't hear that this decree was written and then just decide, oh, I'm going to start being this type of way. He wasn't doing it to get at the king. This is just what he's always done. He didn't change who he was. He wasn't trying to be something different. His idea was just, I'm just going to keep living my life. I'm going to keep doing what I got to do. He didn't compromise. He didn't start being different. He just did as he had done aforetime. We saw this same thing in chapter 1. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and wine. He did this before. He knew temptation was going to come, and he did it before that temptation arose. If you're not doing anything now to prepare yourself for this upcoming school year, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, if you're not, you know, coming to church regularly or being here on Wednesday nights or taking any of the steps to protect yourself or to, secure yourself, it's going to be pretty stinking hard for you guys to not resist temptation, during school. If you're not doing nothing now to prepare for it, then, you know, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. We all know, you all have been to school. All of you have been in the school environment. You know how kids at school act. So you all know that something or someone is going to try to trip you up. Someone at school is going to try to get you to do something you know you shouldn't be doing. Somebody in your friend group, whatever it is going to try to get you to conform to something that they want you to do. So why not pray about it now? Why not be hiding God's words in your heart, memorizing these verses that we put up on the board every week? Why not be doing that right now so you have something to use when these times come? So, my next question is, are you preparing for the journey? Are you preparing for the trip or the journey that the school year is going to be? 16 through 20. 23, we're going to read towards close to the end of the chapter. All right. Then the king commanded. All right. We know Darius is sad. He doesn't want to throw Daniel into the lion's den. But like they said, you cannot change the decree. Once it's written, it's there. There's nothing you can do about it. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his place, our palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I none no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. All right, what happens? Yep, Daniel tossed in the den, comes out unscathed. They put a stone over the door and everything, and he's delivered out of the lion's den unscathed. Last week, what did we see? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
They got put into a deadly situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, got put into a deadly situation. God delivered him from it, just like he did Daniel here. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, walked out unscathed. Not even a hair on their face singed, their clothes still intact. What is the takeaway from this? Which, basically, Lincoln said right here, but for the most part, these situations, they knew that they were going to face them. What did God not do? No, he didn't take the situation away from them. Alright? They still had to endure these situations. Thrown in the furnace and taken out of the lion's den. God could have easily just taken the situation away. Like, nah, you don't have to do that. But just because you're following God, even if you're doing all the things, reading your Bible, praying, going to church, surrounding yourself with the right people, it doesn't mean you're not going to face trials. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen at school. Kids are jerks. People are bullies. Things are going to happen still. Trials will still happen. God doesn't just remove those from our life. That's why you've got to be surrounding yourself with the right people because stuff inevitably is going to happen. We just know this. We know how life works. So what did we see in both these instances? God was with them. All right, you're going to go through stuff, some difficulties, some low times, but God is with you. You may feel like there's no way out, but God honors faithfulness, like we saw here. Like we saw with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like we saw in the first week. God honors faithfulness. Every time that they were put into a situation, God got them through it. Alright? And sometimes the difficulties that we grow through, the things that we face, the trials, the tribulations, those are what shape us. Those are what changes us into the person that we need to be for the next thing that God has for us in our lives. Just because we are faithful doesn't always mean that we're going to have it easy. Alright? So my next question is, are you prepared to stand in the lion's den? Alright? Are you prepared to stand in the lion's den? Let's read through the end of the chapter. And the king commanded, and they brought these men, which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. The king Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages, and dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. That his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. All right. What's happening here? What takes place? Yeah, that King Darius makes a new decree. He says, every dominion tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. All those people that had it out to get Daniel, all those people that were trying to trip him up, got tossed into the lion's den. All right? Huh? And their wives and kids. They paid tenfold for what they tried to do to Daniel. Same thing we saw last week, right? Nebuchadnezzar. Right after they come out of the fire, what does Nebuchadnezzar do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the fire? Yeah, he's like, man, your God is the Almighty. To bring you out of a situation like that, Daniel and his boys, all right? That's what I'm calling them. These are Daniel and his boys. They were steadfast. What? That's not what you call your friends, your boys?
No.
No? These are my boys?
I said joke.
Asian biscuits, okay, well, I'm not calling Daniel's friends his Asian biscuits, so,
yeah.
It wasn't me who named it that way. Well, I'm calling them, they're his boys. What? Oh, the Holy Spirit? Yeah, no, I'm not doing that, all right, Daniel and his boys, let's get on track, all right? They stand steadfast in what they believe, because they have an influence, yeah, we see that Daniel and his boys, they're steadfast in what they believe in, and because of this, they have influence on the people that are set over them. Darius is the king. Nebuchadnezzar is the king. These people are above them, all right? And they have influence on the people that are set over them. When you're consistent, people notice that. When you are consistently doing the things that you know you should be doing, even when it stinks, people notice that. They can tell that you're different. People can see that in your countenance, the way you act, the situations, how you handle yourself when you're around certain people. And then they see when you act one way at school, and then they see you out in public or we're at church, and you're acting a different way. People notice that kind of stuff, whether you think so or not. How many of you guys in here have a sibling? Brother or sister? Older or younger? How many? Meredith, you don't got no siblings? Older or younger? All right. Right? All right. So, little brother or a little sister, okay? You're not necessarily trying to win them over, am I right? Like, you gotta live with them. They gotta put up with you no matter who you are. You're not trying to win them over like you are your friends at school. Your sibling, you don't care what they think of you. You don't care what their opinion is.
Yeah.
But they do see you. They are watching you, whether you think they are or not. They see how you act at church. They see how you act around your friends at church or here. And then they see who you are at school. They see what you do at school. Or when you're at home, when you're around your buddies. They see the kind of person that you are, all right? And if you're acting one way here and being like, oh, I'm such a good kid, this, that, and the other, and then you go to school and you're cussing up a storm or we're doing things that you know are not okay, that you wouldn't do in front of your church friends, your sibling sees that. You are being an example to them. So, you know, you might not think that they're noticing, but they see you when you're one way, and then they see you when you're the other way. And you have an influence. You have a greater influence than you even think you have. Your walk is your testimony, and you don't know who's watching. You don't know what person is looking at you and seeing who you are. It wasn't the intention of Daniel's friends to change the mind of the kings that ruled over them. That wasn't their purpose going into it. Like, their whole purpose was just that they were going to be consistent and faithful. Listen, I go to church, all right? I know I shouldn't be doing these things. That's how I'm going to be every day. At school, in every situation, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be who I am. All right? If you want to cuss, fine. Do that. I don't care. I don't have to be around you, or I don't have to partake. If you want to cheat on tests, I don't care. I'm going to study and get good grades that way. That's the way I know I should do. You know, you guys want to go and bully this kid over there? I'm not going to do that. He's not as bad as you think they are. She's not as bad as you think they are. You know, I'm just going to be nice to him. Love God, love people. I don't have a reason to be mean to this person. You get to choose how you want to act. You don't have to try to change the people around you. Just let the person that you are be the influence. You don't have to try to do anything. These guys weren't trying to be anything more than just who they were, believe what they believed in. They were just trying to be consistent, and God rewarded them for that. Because of their faithfulness, God got the glory. At the end of the day, they're trying to get them to worship Darius, not worship their God, and at the end of the day, God got the glory. They weren't doing anything, just doing what they were doing, living their life. So my last question is, are you going to be consistent? Are you going to do it every day? How many days are there in a year? How many days?
Multiple.
Huh? 365 days. All right, which day is Jesus' day?
Christmas.
Every day.
Every day. Every day is Jesus' day. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday. Every day. All right? We don't just come to church on Sunday and that's it. All right? Every single day, we have to be living out what we practice. Every single day. What do we come to church on Sundays for? To just get in the Word so that we can be prepared for when we go back to school this week for the battles that we're going to face, for the people that are going to try to throw stuff at us. So we can go back to school and live out what we practice on Sundays and on Wednesdays. So, my questions. The questions I had for you guys. Will you remain faithful in every circumstance? All right? Ask yourself that. You guys know what school is going to be like. You know what this year looks like. 4-H, groups that you're in, whatever. Will you remain faithful in every circumstance? Are you going to fold when everyone else gives in? Are you going to be that person that everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to jump on? That's the fun thing to do. It looks like a good time. Whatever, it's just this one time. Are you preparing yourself now? Are you purposing in your heart to be prayed up, to be in the Word, you know, for the journey that you're going to have? Are you preparing for the journey? Are you prepared to stand in the lion's den? When things get tough, when things get hard, are you willing to stand? Even when things are difficult. And then the last question I had for you guys, are you going to be consistent? Not just do it one day of the week, but do it all year round. 365 days, okay? All right, let's pray. Who wants to pray us out?